Hello everyone, my name is Elijah David, minister of the 12th Hour Apostolic Sabbatarian Congregation of South 12th Hour, in the area of Elgin, Texas. Today is December the 10th, 2024. It is the Sebast 10, 2028. We will start our first service today. We're on Shepherd Rod Volume 2, page 27. The name of our sermon today, or the topic of our subject, is the prophecy of Daniel and the Revelation. That's the name of our sermon. And we're going to start on, page 27. It says, this prophecy of Daniel Revelation is found, is contained in the, what John wrote about, contains the world's history. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. Revelation 1:3. Let none think, because they cannot expound the meaning of every symbol in the Revelation, that it is useless for them to search this book in an effort for the knowing of the meaning of the truth it contains. For the one who revealed these mysteries unto John will give unto, give the diligent research, give for the diligent, let's do that again, for the one who revealed these mysteries unto the John will give unto the diligent searcher for the truth a foretaste of the heavenly things. Those whose hearts are open unto the reception of the truth will be enabled to understand his teachings and will be granted the blessing promised and those who hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written therein. Acts of the Apostles, page 584. In the Revelation, all the books of the Bible meet and end. Here is the complement of the book of the Daniel. One is a prophecy, the other a revelation. For the book that was sealed is not the revelation, as that portion of the prophecy of the Daniel relating unto the last days. For the angel commanded, but thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book even unto the time of the end. Page 585. For the number 7, indicates completeness, while the symbols used reveal the condition of the church at the different periods in the history of the world. Page 585. I.D. Finite men should beware of the seeking to control their fellow men, taking the place assigned to the Holy Spirit. Let not men feel that it is their prerogative to give to the world what they suppose to be the truth, and refuse that anything should be given contrary unto their ideas. This is not their work. Many things will appear distinctly as the truth that will not be acceptable unto those who think that their own interpretations of the scriptures are always right. Okay. most decided changes will have to be made in regard and to the ideas which some have accepted as without a flaw. Testimony to Ministers, page 76. A large portion of the Christendom agree that we are living in the last days of this world's history. When Yahshua was asked by his disciples for the signs of his return unto the earth again and of the end of the world, one of the many signs he gave was, "When you therefore shall see the abomination of the desolation," spoken of by the Daniel, the prophet, "stand in the holy place." Whoso has an ear, let him hear. Okay. So it says, "Whosoever readeth, let him also understand." Matthew 24:15. It is evident from the words of the Master that the book of the Daniel contains information regarding the signs of the times and of the end of the world. For the prophecies of the Daniel were of the little worth unto the disciples and the early Christian church. For the Daniel says, "The book was sealed unto the time of the end." Daniel 12:4. And since the book is now open, it is evident that we are living in the time of the end. Revelation 22:6-10. But the book was to be open unto one class of the people and shut unto another. For he added, "Many shall be purified and made white and tried, but the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand." Daniel 12:10. Therefore, it is important that we should be free from all wickedness and obedient unto the divine requirements if we should understand and receive the blessings contained in the book. For the intention of this purification is not to explain the symbols which have hitherto been fully explained in the various publications and proved to be correct in the general outline up until the present. But our intention is to clear certain features which have been hidden by the Spirit of the Elder for a time, for the understanding symbols that are so familiar for the Bible students will be briefly visualized, sufficient only for the connecting of the thought. With the symbols that are to be explained, for we shall endeavor to prove that the symbols of the book of Daniel and Revelation contain the entire world's history, both civil and religious, from the creation unto the redemption. In the second chapter of the Daniel, beginning with the first universal kingdom, Babylon, after the flood, we have the world's history from since unto the second coming of Yahshua, or unto the end of this present world, represented in the one great metallic image. For thou, O King, sawest, and behold, a great image. This great image, whose brightness was excellent, stood before thee, and the form thereof was terrible. This image's head was of the fine gold, the breast and the arms of the silver, and his thighs of the brass, for his legs of the iron, his feet part of the iron, and part of the clay. Thou sawest till a stone was cut out without the hands, which smote the image upon his feet that were of the iron and clay, and breast, iron and clay, and break them to pieces. And in the days of these kings, then the Yahweh of the heavens set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. For as much as thou sawest that stone was cut out of the mountain without the hands, and that it broke in pieces the iron, the brass, the clay, and silver, and the gold, the great king hath made known unto the king that what shall come to pass hereafter. And the dream is certain, and the interpretation thereof sure. Daniel 2:31, 34, 44, and 45. Now, let's turn back to page 28, where I just left off the last part of it. Actually, the last paragraph. Now, let's do a little review of what I just read. It says, as a matter of fact, let's back up to the second paragraph of this page, of page 28. It says, for the intention of this publication is for the explaining of the symbols that have therefore been fully explained in the various publications and proved to be correct in the general outline up unto the present. But our intention is for the clearing of the certain features which have been hidden by the Spirit of the Yahweh for a time, for the outstanding symbols that are so familiar unto the Bible students will be briefly visualized, sufficient only for the connecting of the thought with the symbols that are to be explained. We shall endeavor to prove that the symbols of the Book of the Daniel and the Revelation contain the entire world's history, both civil and religious, from the creation unto the redemption. As we continue to read, it says, in the second chapter of the Daniel, beginning with the first universal kingdom, Babylon, after the flood, we have the world's history from thence until the second coming of the Yahshua. Now until the second coming, and the second coming of Yahshua hasn't happened yet, and we're in 2024, and it hasn't happened yet, or until the end of the present world, represented in one great metallic image. Thou, O King, sawest, and behold a great image. Now this great image, whose brightness was excellent, stood before thee, and the form thereof was terrible. This image's head was of the fine gold. So they had gold. The first one had gold as their money standard. This breast of this great image and his arms of silver and the thighs of brass. Now, this great beast, his breast was of silver. Now, silver is not near as valuable as gold. So they took a decrease in money value. They went from gold, the top value for money, to silver as the next value for money. The beast and his arms of silver, and his thighs of brass, his legs of iron, his feet part of the iron, and part of the clay. So now what is this, beast? This fourth beast, what is he? He is of the iron and the clay. What does it say in Jeremiah 18:6? It says, the clay in that potter's hand is the house of Israel. So now we got this great image. The iron represents the Catholic Church, Rome, and it's mixed with the clay. And the clay represents the house of Israel in its unpurified state. Okay. And it goes on to say that, and in the days of these kings, what king? These 10 kings represents universal kings of all the nations of the world. That was on the head of that beast. Okay. It says in the days of, and those 10 toes, it says on this great image, represents the same thing as those 10 chains on that beast, his head. So this image and the beast are synonymous with each other. Okay. And it shall stand forever. For as much as thou sawest the stone, for as much as thou sawest that the stone. Now, Richard Hallis left out the definite article, the. So that if you leave out the definite article, which belongs there, then the definite article means personal specific. One personal specific one, not just any stone. Or you could say that a stone, if you weren't specific. The makes it specific. The stone that was cut out of the mountain. Now, what is that mountain? Okay. That mountain as we understand today, is a specific church representing that mountain. And then in our case, at the time of the fulfillment of this prophecy, it is the Adventist church, is this mountain. But there was a stone in there, in that mountain, a lively stone, that had to be cut out. Or another place, which also says mountain represents church, or it represents a kingdom. It can represent either one, a church or a kingdom. Okay. So it says that the stone that was cut out of the mountain, he's got this personal specific right there, the mountain, the Seventh-day Adventist church, without the hands, without any hand, and that it break into pieces the iron, and that would be the Catholic Church, the brass, which would be Alexander's Church, that and the clay, which would be the House of Israel, and the silver, which would be the Persian Kingdom, and the gold, which would be the Babylonian Kingdom. So you have a composite then of these four kingdoms that represents this ten-toe image. You got four kingdoms. Actually, you have five kingdoms. Five kingdoms. Okay. You've got the head, which is of gold. You've got the breast and the two arms, which is of silver. It represents Persia. The head of gold represents Babylon. Your breast represents Grecia, Alexander. And there was two legs of iron, represents that fourth beast, pagan Imperial Rome. Now the one leg represents Imperial Rome. And then when that Imperial Rome went into a second phase, in 538 A.D., called Ecclesiastical Rome, that had a horn come up with a mouth speaking great things for 1260 years, represented the classical Rome, and then you had your second leg of iron. So those two legs represent Imperial Rome and Ecclesiastical Rome. Now, their feet are a part of iron and part of clay. Now, this is the first time that you saw clay come into being. So clay is part of this fifth kingdom that represents this great image. You have Babylon represented by the gold, the head. You got the silver represented by by Persia. And the bear is a symbol. The gold, the head of gold, is Babylon represented by the lion. The second one is by Persia, the bear. The third one is Grecia, the leopard. The fourth one is a nondescript beast that represents Imperial or pagan Rome at the cross, with two phases to it. Now you've got the 2 feet, which represents 2 phases. Okay. Which is called clay. And it says that the clay is the house of Israel, according to Jeremiah 18:6. The clay is the house of Israel. Okay. And those 10 toes represents all of the kingdoms of this world that have the king ruling over them, that are part of this image. Now this whole image has got to be destroyed. This whole image has got to be destroyed in these last days. That represents all these kingdoms. Has got to be destroyed by the stone hewn out of the mountain without hands. Now the devil's got people thinking that Yahshua is this stone, and this represents his second coming. And then they said that stone turns into the 144,000 after he comes. Well, it's in his riches, Voice of Prophecy from 1935, or clear up into the 60s, for the Seventh-day Adventist. That's what he taught. H.M.S. Richard was a Jesuit Catholic, and he took over the Voice of Prophecy. That was a voice for the Adventists for 30, 40 years. And as soon as H.M.S. Richard died, his son took over as continuing on the Voice of Prophecy. And so, you had those Jesuits, one right after the other, stepped right in there and continued to try to teach the true, and they called their mission the Voice of Prophecy. They were no more the Voice of Prophecy than a man in the moon. They were the voice of the false prophecy for the devil to spew out of his mouth. And my daughter, my sister-in-law, she said to me one day on the phone, she was an Adventist. She said, if there ever was a saint in the Adventist Church, it's H.M.S. Richards Sr. He is a saint. If there's anyone in Adventist that's going to be saved, for sure, it's H.M.S. Richards. And I said to her, he's a Jesuit Catholic, and she says, oh my goodness, I don't want to talk to you anymore about religion. So she didn't. Now our next step, and what we understand here of this image, is to identify this stone that's hewn out of this mountain without hands, that grows into a mountain and fills the whole earth. Now we've got to get that interpretation right, because people believe when Yahshua comes the second time, it's all over for the world. That's what my wife believes. So that's the reason why she just settled down here and satisfied with her understanding of this prophecy now. And she's not, but it says that the stone starts this image on the feet. You mean Yahshua, Yahweh's going to send his son Yahshua from heaven to come down here and to destroy all these kingdoms? Destroy all the wicked and all these kingdoms and take charge of the righteous and gather them all together and he's going to do all this stuff? No, people believe when Yahshua comes the second time, it's all over. None of this stuff takes place. It's already been done. Well, if all this has been done, well, who did it then? Who did it for Yahshua before he came? You're going to have to establish who this was that he did. And according to the prophecies of the Bible, and what I've read in the Rod, is this antithetical David. And David, the kingdom of David represents this stone hewn out of the mountain, out of the Adventist Church, without hands. And it strikes this great image on the feet and grows into a mountain and fills the whole earth. Replaces that great mountain that it was hewn out of. So Yahshua comes by the Holy Spirit. He hears this house of David, antitypical David, and antitypical David is alive and well. And he hears this antitypical David out of the Adventist Church. That's represented by this little stone. And he strikes that image on the feet and grows into a mountain and fills the whole earth. In 2002, we had the last prophet and leader of the Seventh-day Adventist Church, of the third presbyterian pastor for the Adventist, and closing out the fourth movement of the Ninth Hour Call of 1844, Willis W. Johnson, and closing out the Judgment of the Dead, and the Sixth Seal, and the Sixth Trumpet. And while Yahshua then coming invisible, but he came to the threshold of the house at the Passover, 2002 had come, and he brought, as I prophesied in 2001, that starting at the Passover 2002, there's going to be a changing of the guard from Willis Johnson to a new leader. And it's going to start at Passover and it was going to culminate at the Atonement of 2002. And Brother Johnson, by his own handwriting, confirmed that very thing that I prophesied. And he thought he was the first one to come up with that, forgetting that I'd already prophesied it. So, then what happened? There was a change of the guard. The fourth movement for Israel. There's five movements for Israel since coming out of Egypt. The Adventist Church represents the fourth movement. The fifth movement is represented by this little stone that's hewn out of the mountains out of hand and grows into a mountain and fills the whole earth with an actual prophet for our leader. And this is who we are today. So Mount Sinai, the 12th hour, is none other but this fifth kingdom for Israel, represented by this stone hewn out of the mountain without hand. And where was that mountain visible when that stone came out? Comet, Texas. And what was that mountain called? It was called Mount Gilead. That's what Brother Johnson named his third feeding pasture for the Adventists. He named it Gilead Center. And he had a big building that was called a health clinic. And outside of it, he says, Gilead Center, health clinic. So, Roller Johnson organization, whether he called it Mount Zion at the 11th hour, but we know that that's true. And we know that Roller Johnson, that Mount Zion at the 11th hour, then was transferred from him to Mount Zion at the 12th hour, which is Elijah David and his kingdom that he is in charge of. He represents the little stone here in the mountains out of hand that strikes the image on the feet. Okay. Goes into a mountain and fills the whole earth. Nebuchadnezzar made an image to the beast. It was 90 foot tall. And that's what it was called. Image to the beast. Okay. That image to the beast was a colossal. Was a colossal. Meaning that it was the image of some individual. And it was the image of Nebuchadnezzar. It was his own image. And it was 90 foot tall. And he called for all the nations of the world that he ruled over, all the provinces, 127 of them, during battle. He called for the leaders of all those provinces to come in to dedicate this new image that he had just raised up. Well, this image represented him. So anyway, today we have a Latter-day prophecy that, well, I'll read it to you. From the Bible. So now I'll read this last paragraph to you here, part of it. And in the days of these kings, shall the Yahweh of the heaven set up a kingdom, and I might say with his son, that he's going to send back to this earth, like he did the first time. He's going to be in person, and he's going to come back to this earth and sit upon the throne of David, his earthly father. The scientific David is his earthly father, and he's going to sit upon the throne of David, and the kingdom of David. That's in Luke 1:31, 32, and 33 prophecy, and Isaiah 9:6-8. And in the days of these kings, when these 10 kings that are ruling the earth, are sitting on this beast representing the Catholic Church, this great image. These 10 kings, they're sitting on all this, all right? It says, in the days of these kings, shall the Yahweh of the heavens set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. And the kingdom shall not be left to other people. and it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. For as much as thou sawest that this stone, personal to specific, represent a person and a kingdom, was cut out of the mountain, which either represents a church or a kingdom here on earth. And that mountain was the Adventist, Sister White says, the spiritual Israel of today. So that mountain, that this little stone, was this kingdom of David that Yahshua is sitting upon the throne of in Daniel 2:44-45, which says, in the days of these kings, that's these ten-toed kings that we're talking about right now, that's in these feet, shall the Yahweh of the heaven, the Father, of the Yahshua set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed or left to other people. And the kingdom shall grow into a mountain and fill the whole earth. And that's who we are the leaders of today. Okay, as far as much as thou sawest that the stone, house of David, everlasting kingdom of heaven, Daniel 2:44-45, was cut out of a mountain without the hand, that it breaks in pieces the iron that represents pagan Rome and imperial Rome, the Catholic Church, the brass, which represents the third kingdom of the composite beast, that leopard-like beast that comes out of the sea to this earth, which represents the Greek, Grecia. The clay represents the house of Israel. The silver represents the kingdom of Persia with the bear symbol. And the gold represents Babylon of the lion system. Great God, if great Yahweh has made known unto the king, Nebuchadnezzar, what shall come to pass. And hereafter, and the dream is certain, and the interpretation thereof is sure. Daniel 2:11, 34, 44, and 45. For the gold, the silver, the brass, and iron have been interpreted to represent Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar, and his son Belshazzar, or some people call it his grandson Belshazzar. I've read it both ways. Medo-Persia, which represents the Persian kingdom. Grecia, which represents the Alexander's kingdom. And Rome, which represents Imperial Rome at the cross. And incidentally, the king of Imperial Rome was a full-blood Jew. Anyway, I can't quite say his name right now, but he was a full-blood Jew that betrayed the Jewish people to Imperial Rome. The mixture of the iron and clay, the feet, for the gold, silver, brass, and iron have been interpreted to represent Babylon, Medo-Persia, Grecia, and Rome. For the mixture of the iron and clay, the feet and the toes, the present kingdom, succeeding the fall of Rome, wonderful prophecy it is, so simple and so true. But this great image only reveals the framework, as it were, of our world's history. In the seventh chapter of the Daniel, we have the same chronological arrangement and the symbols of the various beasts. For the reason for the duplication is for the revealing in the detail of the historical events which were and are to transpire within the framework of the great image of the beast that Nebuchadnezzar raised up there in Babylon to represent him as being this great image. Daniel spake and said, I saw in my vision in the night, and behold, the four winds of the heaven strove upon the great sea, and four beasts came up from the sea, diverse one from another. The first was like a lion, and it had eagle's wings. I beheld till the wings thereof were plucked, and it was lifted up from the earth, and made to stand upon the feet as a man. And a man's heart was given unto it, and behold, another beast, and that represented Nebuchadnezzar, another beast, a second, like unto a bear, that represented the silver, represented by the silver of that Medo-Persian kingdom, was given a man's heart, was given unto it. Stand upon the feet as a man, and a man's heart was given unto it. Okay. So the key word is there now, it said, the first was like a lion, and the other like the eagle's wings. I beheld till the wings thereof were plucked, and it was lifted up from the earth, and made to stand upon the feet as a man. That's Rome. I mean that's Babylon. Okay. And a man's heart was given unto it. And behold, another beast, a second, and like unto a bear. Now this is called a second one. And it raised itself up on the one side, and it was three ribs in the mouth of it between the teeth of it, and they said thus unto it, Arise, devour much flesh. At this I beheld another like a leopard, which had upon the back of it four wings of a fowl. For the beast had also four heads, and dominion was given unto it. After this I saw in the night vision, and beheld a fourth beast, dreadful and terrible and strong exceedingly, and it had the great iron teeth, and it devoured and broke in pieces, and stamped the residue with the feet of it, and it was diverse from all the beasts that were before it, and it had 10 horns. I considered the horns, and behold, there came up among them another little horn, before whom there were three of the first horns plucked up by the roots, and behold, in this horn were the eyes like the eyes of a man, and a mouth speaking great things. Daniel 7:2-8. For the lion, the bear, the leopard, and the nondescript beast, which represents Imperial Rome, depict the same kingdom as the gold, the silver, brass, and iron. For the unnatural and peculiar symbols connected with the beast, namely, that the wings, ribs, horns, and head are capable of disposing of the mysteries of the historical occurrences which were to transpire within the great prophetic periods. For the most wonderful thing about these prophetic symbols is that they are perfectly capable of the revealing the truth, and once understood aright, they cannot be contradicted. Any interpretation of the symbolical prophecies that do not perfectly that the explanation given is never to be depended upon. For the interpretation of such symbols must not only be in harmony with the whole tenor of the Yahweh's book and law, but it must point out some important lesson for the Yahweh's people. And when such an explanation is referred to is derived from the scriptures, then only we have the truth. For the last word I said was the word truth. And what does it say in Psalms 139, 142? Thy law is an everlasting law. Thy truth is an everlasting truth, and thy law is I can't even say it right. 119, 142. Thy law is an everlasting law, and just look it up. I can't seem to get it right. Or it says, and thy law is the truth. Okay. That's in Psalms 119, 142. For the head of the goat, we're on page 33, first paragraph. While the head of the goat on the great image represented the kingdom of the Babylon, at the height of her glory, the lion covers a greater period according to Genesis 10:8-10. Okay. And Cush begat Nimrod. He began to be a mighty one in the earth. He was a mighty hunter before the Yahshua. Wherefore it is said, even as a Nimrod, as a mighty hunter, before the Yahweh and the beginning of his kingdom was Babel, Erech, and Akkad and Calneh and the land of Shinar, the beginning of the Nimrod's kingdom was Babel. Or as it is in the Greek, Babylon, his dominion, extended over the four cities of the plain, namely Babylon, Erech, Akkad, and Calneh. If the reader will turn to Genesis 10:1-8 and carefully count the persons born from the family of Noah after going out from the ark of the deluge unto the birth of the Nimrod, it will be noticed that Nimrod is the 26th person born after the flood. For the location of the city was in the land of Shinar, as in Genesis 11:2, and it came to pass, as they journeyed from the east, and they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. For the name Babel, Babylon in the Greek, originated at the time that the Tower of the Babel was in the building. After that time, Yahweh confounded the multitude by the diversity of the speech. According unto Daniel, the capital of the Babylon stood on the same plain. And Yahweh gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand, the king of Babylon, which he carried into the land of Shinar, Daniel 1:2. Therefore, Babylon was founded immediately after the flood, perhaps somewhere between 2400 and 2300 B.C. Okay. So it is about 2,500 years before the cross. and had reached her height as a universal empire between 400 or 500 B.C. So she had a 2,000-year run. Babylon, in her development, had consumed a period of about 1,800 years or more. Certainly no one would think that Babylon made very rapid speed in the conquering of the ancient world. Symbol of the wings and ribs. We may now inquire the meaning of the wings on the lion and on the leopard, also the ribs in the mouth of the bear. The wings on the lion certainly cannot represent speed, as some have taught. Its wings were to represent rapidity. They should have been on the bear, for the sirus and the rise is with the conquering of the old Babylon overnight. Furthermore, its wings represent speed on the one beast. They must likewise represent the same on the other. Could they represent speed on the four-headed leopard beast that represents Greece? The brass kingdom? Certainly not. A careful observation of the symbol of this symbol shows that the leopard beast had nothing to do with the Alexander's conquest of the Medo-Persia, for the leopard represents the kingdom after the conquest was accomplished, for the four heads are the four Grecian divisions after the death of Alexander, namely Cassander, Lamachus, Ptolemy, and Seleucus. For the conflict and conquest between Medo-Persia and Grecia and is brought to our attention in the Daniel 8:5-7. And I was considering, and behold, an he-goat, a great, came from the west on the face of the whole earth, and touched not the ground, and the goat had a notable horn between his eyes. And he came unto the ram which had the two horns, which I had seen standing before the river. And he ran into him in the fury of his power, and I saw him come close unto the ram, and he was moved with a choler against him. And he smote the ram and brake his two horns, and there was no power in the ram to stand before him, but he cast him down to the ground and stamped upon him, and there was none that could deliver the ram out of his hand. And in Daniel 8:20-21, Daniel was told by the angel that the he-goat is Grecia, the ram Medo-Persia, and the notable horn between his eyes is the first king. Therefore, Alexander's swift conquest is represented by the he-goat, which touched not the ground. For if the wings were to represent speed, they should have been on the goat, on the he-goat, and not on the leopard, since the truth of what has been said cannot be denied, and as a thought that has been entertained by some in the contradictory and through the symbol, the same is contradictory to for the unto the symbol, we must look elsewhere for the application of the wing. We think it is far safer and wiser as well as some reasonable for one to admit his mistake, as we mortals are apt to make many of them rather than to become involved in a contradictory interpretation of the word of Yahweh. First, we must understand that the inspiration is for the recording by the means of these symbols the entire world's history. Let us not forget that there was a world before the flood. If one of us should undertake this wonderful architectural feat for the devising of a blueprint or chart of this world's history, we certainly would take into the consideration a complete account of all the parts. Yahweh being infinite in the wisdom as well as in the power would certainly not overtake or thoughtlessly neglect in this great chart of the historical event for the considering of his world before the flood, for a record of a divine survey of this world's history from the creation unto the redemption would be of the great importance at this present time. In an age of the infidelity, atheism, and hypocrisy, men have for the men who profess to be the wise in the secular as well as the religious matter have lost sight of the source of the true wisdom and knowledge. They saw that when they knew Yahweh, they glorified him not as a Yahweh, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imagination, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, Romans 1:21-22. Even those who profess to be teachers of the righteousness have forfeited their faith in the blood of the everlasting covenant of the Yahshua, Hebrews 10:19-20, and the Bible's reckoning of the creation also. For Yahweh, having knowledge of the present deceptive denial of his holy word, has devised a prophetic blueprint in the symbol of the beast, wings, ribs, horns, and heads, crowns, etc., by which he points out in this prophetic panorama of the facts with a force that should humiliate men and show them their utter ignorance and lack of wisdom. According to the biblical reckoning, the flood came more than 1600 years after the creation. For Yahweh originated the human race through the Adam and Eve. Therefore, one people, one race, one language, one nation, from the creation unto the flood. For the rulership given to Adam, we call the first universal Adamic empire. Babylon was the second. Medo-Persia is the third. Grecia is the fourth. And we're just coming into the second. No, we're just coming to the third And that's Medo-Persia, and that's been ruled by Daniel, I mean, by Trump, Donald Trump and his vice president. Babylon was the second. Medo-Persia, that we're in now, is the third. Grecia is the fourth, and that will be the kingdom that we're going to have to identify next after Donald Trump is through with his in 4 years, is Rome. Okay. The fifth, the broken state of the Rome, symbolized by the feet and toes of the great image of the Daniel 2, which is the present unstable civilization, and the sixth, and from the close of the millennium until after the resurrection of the wicked. And this is where Ricky Hollow goes wrong. It should say, the present unstable civilization is the sixth that came to an end at the cross of 2002 at Gilead Center, Charlotte, Texas, with Rodas Johnson at the helm. The third feeding pastor for the Seventh-day Adventist Church, closing out the fourth movement for the house of Israel from Egypt. Moses had the first movement, and Yahshua had the second movement at the cross. William Miller had the third movement, 1833. Ellen G. White had the fourth movement, 1844, until 2002 at Kermit, Texas. It came to an end. The fifth movement is who we are, the everlasting kingdom of heaven. That's in Daniel 2, 44 and 45. That is set up us out here in the 12th hour, here in the seventh seal, the seventh trumpet, and the judgment of the living. Brother Johnson closed out the judgment of the dead for the Adventist church. The first phase of the judgment for Adventists had it, and the second phase is the set Mount Zion at the 12th hour. The everlasting kingdom of David has it. Here in the 12th to about its hour. So, the 6th closed out in 2002, the 7th of Revelation 8, 1 and 2, the 7th seal, 7th trumpet, judgment of the living, all opened up at that time with the 5th group of laborers, Matthew 20, verse 6, at the helm of the millennium, before the millennium. For after the resurrection of the wicked at the end of the millennium, unto their second death, the seventh and the last. No, it's not. It's the eighth and the last. Okay, we had the seventh. We had the seventh seal with Revelation 8:1, as the fifth group of believers, Matthew 20, verse 6. We had the seventh trumpet, and we had the last of the seven seals and the seven trumpets closing out at the end of the 12th parabolic hour, and at the beginning of the millennium, not after the millennium. Thus the biblical number 7, as always, signifies completeness. Therefore, 7 such universal empires revealing a complete history of the world denotes the end of the sin and its denomination. This brings interest to this hour. Contact us at the 11th hour call. That's number 11. Click on our audio archives. Hear this message and more. Let's close now with a song. Let us read this last sentence over. Therefore, the seventh such universal empires, revealing a complete history of the world before the close of probation and the 12th parabolic hour and the seventh trumpet and the seventh seal, and the judgment of the living, starting in 2002 at Kermit, Texas, unto the end of sin and its dominion of sin. This brings in rest at this hour. Contact us at the 11th hour. Call us number 11. Click on our audio archive. Hear this message and more. We're going to close now with a song.